Should be opening your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 4. We'll begin there in just a moment. If you're visiting with us, you should know that our regular evangelist is out. Lord willing, he'll be back with us next week. Right now, let's turn our attention to 2 Corinthians 4 and see what we might glean from this passage. 2 Corinthians 4, and in verse 18, Paul has this to say. He says, "We look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." My question this morning to you is, can you see the things that are unseen? Can you see the things that are eternal? Can you see the invisible things? You know, this summer, I taught the sixth grade class and we studied evidences. And one of the things we talked about is the fact that some people will say, "Well, I can't see God. How can I believe that there is a God?" So there are many people who cannot see the unseen things. They have trouble seeing God. They have trouble seeing creation. They have trouble seeing heaven. Paul tells us a little bit about why that's the case here in 2 Corinthians 4, back up in verse 3, when he says, "Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Basically, what Paul is saying is those who cannot see do not have light. And that's not different than what the Gospel of John tells us. In John 3, we've looked at John 3:16 a couple of times over our year. And following John 3:16, there's some things said about why those who can't see have trouble believing, or those who can't believe have trouble seeing. In verse 19, into John 3 and verse 19, "And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out by God." So we get the idea here that it's going to take some light to see some things. The book of Ephesians kind of sheds a little bit of help for us here. When it talks about unseen things or the things in darkness, in Ephesians 5 and in verse 11, it says, "Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light." Now, this is a principle, simply put here, that it takes light to see light. And you say, "Well, that's not necessarily true. I can see light when it's coming at me." But if you've ever been in darkness and light was coming at you, you could see light, but you really couldn't tell what it was. Not unless you had some way to shine light back upon what was coming towards you. Might be a freight train. Might be your brother with a flashlight. Might be many things, but we don't see it unless we have light to shine back towards it. And that's what I want to talk to you a little bit about this morning, is the idea of light in the Scriptures. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 John. In 1 John 1 and in verse 5, we read there, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." So if we're going to see God, we're going to have light to see God. And God knew that. And that's why he sent us light. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 1, We read there in verse 1, John 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." Verse 9, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him." What was the purpose of God sending this great light? It was so that we could see the light. God is light. Verse 18, John 1, verse 18. "No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side, has made Him known." So here's God sending us light that we may see God. The problem with that is that everyone who had the light, everyone who was around the light, everyone who was around Jesus, did not necessarily see God. If you go to John, the 14th chapter, Jesus was talking to His apostles. And it was the night before His betrayal, night of His betrayal, before His crucifixion. And Philip says to Him in John 14 and verse 8, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" There was a problem here. Those that were around Jesus could not necessarily see God, even though they had the very light that was sent from God to show who God was. There was an issue that was somehow keeping them from seeing. Paul lets us know what that is in Romans 1. In Romans 1 and in verse 16. Romans 1 and in verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, 'The righteous shall live by faith.'" There's the switch. Faith. Faith is the switch that will turn the light on so that we will be able to see the light. That we'll be able to see God. Now, we know that that is true, and we know that there were people who could even see God really before Jesus came in the flesh. We know that from reading on down through Romans, beginning in verse 18, that God held them responsible for seeing God. Notice Romans 1, verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God, or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things." What Paul is saying here in Romans is really the same thing that he was trying to say in 2 Corinthians 4. And that is that if you get focused in on the things of this world, the things that you can see, you will get focused in on worshiping the Creator rather than the Creator. And even though God says here that they should have been able to see His invisible attributes from the very beginning, they were unable to see it. And yet we know that there are those who did see God even before Jesus came to this earth. We know that because the Bible tells us that. In Hebrews 11, there's an amazing statement made. Hebrews 11 and in verse 26, speaking of Moses, Moses lived some 1,400 years before the time of Christ came incarnate into this earth. And it says in Hebrews 11 and verse 26, Moses considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. Wait a minute. The reproach of Christ? Well, Christ came in John, right? Now, Christ was here from the very beginning, is what he's trying to say. And that Moses used Christ. Notice how he used him in verse 27. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured seeing him who is invisible. Moses was able to see the one who was indeed invisible. And if you think about the awesomeness of that, God providing light, even in the Old Testament, that he could show God, show himself, show his invisible attributes, even before the time of sending Christ to this earth. But what he did here was he translated Moses out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And he did that for all of us by sending Jesus here. In Colossians 1, and in verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. God is saying we all have the light now. We all should be able to see God. We should be able to see his image through Jesus. Now that is really the same argument that Jesus was making in John the 14th chapter when Philip asked him in verse 8 to show us the Lord. If you'll look right before that in John 14 verse 7, Jesus said to him, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on you do know him and have seen him." So the idea of Jesus being the light to show us God was there even in the beginning, but more so when he came to this earth, and yet those without faith, those who would not believe in him, still could not see God. They could not see light. But what about us? If we have faith, we can see God, we can see light. But once we see light, we begin to understand some other things, some other invisible things to those without faith. If you think about it, Hebrews tells us that faith is the switch that really allows us to see many things. In Hebrews 11 and in verse 3, Hebrews 11 and verse 3, it says, "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." If we take the light and we shine it back towards creation, we can not only see God in creation, that's what he expects us to see, but he really says we can look back and we can see eternity. We can see that God existed before the creation. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that very thing. In Ephesians 1 and verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose in us, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love." Before the world began, God created a foundation, laid a foundation for our salvation with Christ before he even created the world. It's an amazing thing when you look backwards and you can see through faith, you can see eternity. You can see that God indeed existed before the world began. But God did not leave us without light, even in the beginning, even in the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, we read there that in verse 2 that the world was in darkness. And in verse 3, we read there, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Now, this is the statement that Paul referred to in 2 Corinthians 4. The one who said, "Let there be light." God said, "Let there be light," in verse 3. But notice that it wasn't until verse 16 that God made two great lights. Genesis 1 and verse 16. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the stars. So what light was he referring to in verse 3? Could he not have been referring to the true light the light of John 1 and verse 9, the true light, Jesus Christ, the one in whom grace and truth would come to all those who could see Jesus. The real light of the Bible is, of course, the truth of the Bible, the Word of God. Take us back to what Jesus was trying to get his disciples to understand in John the 14th chapter. That's exactly what he says, or the way he starts the conversation. If we back up one more verse in verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So when those begin to believe in Jesus and to see the light, they can use the light to, of course, see God. When they look back through creation, they too can see the light. How is it that we, through faith, can look back and see God as the Creator? It's very simple. We open our Bibles to Genesis 1 and verse 1, and it says there, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." No issue for those who believe. No issue for those who have faith. And you know, we can see it because of our faith. But man, who gets concentrated on the temporary things of this life, upon the things that are transient, those who we might even say dealing with the science of this life, and they perform all their experiments and they look back at creation and they make these theories about what could have happened during creation. Maybe you've heard of the Big Bang theory or some other theory about how creation began. But what they cannot do is they cannot see God. They cannot see the creation as God's creation. They cannot see the invisible attributes of God. Because the visible things of this world, when we look at them, they really blind us to the invisible things of God. And no matter what science does, no matter what experiments they perform, no matter what they discover, they will never be able to confirm or deny that God created this world. They can't do it. It's impossible. But you can know that God created this world through faith, through believing what God said. And so when we turn back and read, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth," we understand there is God. We can see God in the creation. And the same people that would look back and not be able to see God might say something to the effect of, "How do you know there's a heaven? Is heaven real?" Or they might even say, "There's no such thing as heaven." And that is true from the standpoint of the wisdom of this world and the standpoint of the things that we can see in this world. If we look at those things, we will have trouble seeing heaven. But if we take our faith and we take the light that God has given us and we shine it in the forward direction, we can see heaven. It's very plain. And you know, one of the interesting things about that is that they could see heaven even in the Old Testament. How do we know? Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 16, speaking of those in the Old Testament, said, "They desire a better country." Hebrews 11 and verse 16. "They desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them." Now, what did we gain by having Jesus come as the light in the New Testament? If we could have seen God and we could have seen heaven and we could have seen creation in the Old Testament, and you could, God held them accountable for that, what did we gain? We gained a lot. It became closer to us. We can see it much better than they ever could. And that's the argument of the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 12. In Hebrews 12 and verse 22, when he says, "But you have come to the Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable angels in festal gatherings, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkling of blood that speaks better word than the blood of Abel." When we have the light and we shine it forward to see the creation, we can see the creation as John saw the creation in Revelation 21. In Revelation 21, using the light, John said, I saw, Revelation 21 and verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, or crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. Without light, the invisible things would remain invisible. But when we have the light, we begin to see the light and the things of the light for what they really are. In John 11, when we look at the light a little closer, we find in John 11 and verse 25 that he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. This is the light speaking, that he is indeed the resurrection. He told us that he was the way and the truth and the life. And now he says he is the resurrection. And whether you can see the invisible things or not depends on the answer to the question that Jesus poses after he says this in verse 26, when he says to Martha, Do you believe this? If your answer is no, you remain in darkness, and you will never see the invisible things that are spoken of by Paul in 2 Corinthians 4. But if your answer is yes, all things become visible. We can see God, we can see His creation, and we can see God in His creation. We can see heaven itself, and we can know that God prepared heaven for us. It's because we have faith. Now, if I were to ask you what your most precious possession is right now, what would it be? Your possession. What do you have that's more precious than gold? Peter says it's your faith. 1 Peter 1 and verse 7. He says, Your faith that has been tested is more precious than gold that perishes. There's no possession you have on earth that is greater than your faith. And that's why the Hebrew writer puts it this way. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6. He says, Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. If we begin to understand the way that light is used in the New Testament, the way that light is used in the Old Testament, the way that it is our faith that triggers the light that allows us to see the unseeable things, then we truly appreciate what God said faith was in Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Without light, it would be impossible to see the permanent things that God has prepared for us. But God loved us so much that He has sent us the true light so that we can not only see the invisible things of God, we can see light itself, His creation, His eternity. We can see eternity from the beginning to the end by the light of God through our faith. Praise God for this. Would you pray with me? Oh, Lord, our God, we're so thankful, Father, that You love us so much, that You wanted us to be able to see You and to see You clearly and to see the things that You prepared for us, not only in this life, but in the life to come, that You were willing to send the light, the true light to us, that we who would believe and have faith could see the things that You have prepared for us and know without a doubt, Father, that You are indeed God. That You created all things and that You created us and that You've prepared heaven for us when this life is over. And Lord, we thank You so much for this wonderful blessing that You've given us through Your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.